Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's start out today in Exodus chapter 3, when God called Moses. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock in the wilderness to the west side and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning and yet not consumed. Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, don't come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place upon which you stand is holy ground. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Come, I'll send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Today we're talking about God's calling upon our lives. And how many of you said that same kind of thing when God has called you to great things in your life? God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? It was all going really well until God dropped that bomb on him. Come, I'll send you. Do you believe God is sending you today out into the world to do great things for him? Can you do great things for God? Well, I think a lot of times we answer like Moses answered. Who am I? I am too small. I am too insignificant. I'm just one person in a great big world, God. Send someone who's great. Send Moses. Send Elijah. Send David. Send Paul. Send Peter. These guys could accomplish something for you. But look at me. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. God, why would you send me to do great things for you? But you know what? When you say things like that, you are echoing one of the greats of the Bible, Moses, who said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? So I want to ask today this question. Can God use even little insignificant you in his kingdom to do great things? And can he use even our little congregation, small, but to do great things in the world? So let's talk about our calling today from God, what God says to us. Can he use even little insignificant you? Well, the first thing we need to understand is, does God indeed intend great things for you to do in his kingdom? And where I'd like to look for that is the word. Where else are you going to hear about God's will for your life? So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. You know this verse well. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. But note the next verse, chapter 10. For we are his workmanship. Say workmanship. Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Say for good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, does God have great things in store for you? He created you, born again, saved through faith in Jesus Christ, apart from your works, but saved for good works, and such great works that God has even gone ahead of you, prepared and laid them all out, and all you got to do is walk in them. It's all by his grace. Isn't that fantastic? Does God have great works for you to do? He tells us, with respect, you know, like the Gideons say, like it says in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go means go. He's called each of us to go out into the world this way. Come, I'll send you to Pharaoh to bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt, he told Moses. And he tells us, come, I will send you out into the world to bring my lost children out of darkness into my marvelous light. Feed the poor, clothe the naked, help the weak, and proclaim my son Jesus Christ and his gospel, that they may hear it, believe it, and be saved. Praise be to God. He's got a great mission for you. It's obvious he has great things for us to do. It's also just as obvious, we often make a lot of excuses. Just like Moses. Who am I that I should go? What do we say? I'm too small, too insignificant, too weak to do that. I'm unqualified. God, you got the wrong man. I'm too old. I'm retired. I can't start it now. I'm too young. I'm unqualified. Who am I but a youth? I'm not trained. I haven't been to seminary. I haven't been educated. And my goodness, look at my sinful past. God, how could you use a sinner like me to do great things? But he says, come, I will send you out. And what are all these our words? Excuses. Amen? Just like Moses, but to help encourage you, let's take a look at the greats of the Bible today. That'll be the sermon. Let's just see how great they were, how different from they were from us or not. Check out Moses. He starts out, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Excuse number one, basically. Then we continue to read here. God says to him, but I will be with you. Moses says again, but if I come to the people of Israel and say, the God of our father says, sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Say to this people, I am has sent me to you. Okay, so God answered that one. We go on again. Then Moses answered, but behold, they won't believe me. They won't listen to me. Then they will say, the Lord didn't appear to you. God said, what's in your hand? A rod? I'll do great miracles through that. They'll believe you. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent. Not up to now or since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech, tongue. I can't speak very well. Lord said, who made man's mouth? Who made the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go. Once again, but he said, oh, my Lord, pray I send some other person. How much different is Moses from each and every one of us? The Lord said, go, until he's finally got angry with Moses. Excuse after excuse. And so I think you may be thinking that you're alone and not being qualified for service to God. Are you qualified? Moses didn't feel qualified. I can't speak. Who am I to go? They won't believe me. I'm unqualified. Send some other person. What is God telling us through this? He is just like us. And we're no different from him. But God called him to do great things. Think about Moses' life. He spent his first 40 years where? In the royal palace. He thought he was a somebody. He killed an Egyptian. He fled out into the wilderness. He spent his next 40 years in the wilderness as a poor shepherd. He thought he was a nobody. His last 40 years, he learned what God can do with a somebody who realizes he's a nobody. Are you a nobody? God can do great things with somebodies who realize that they're nobodies. And that's really all we need, is to have him do great things in you. Will you yield yourself to him for service today in his kingdom? What might you see if you just devoted yourself from this day on to that? For Moses was very meek, says the scriptures, more than any other man on the face of all the earth, but God's power is made perfect and great in our weakness. Could he not do so with you? But then we come up with another excuse. But I'm too old to start that now. I'm retired, man. That's what I came to Florida for. I'm retired. You can't retire from the Christian life. God retires you when you go home to heaven. Then you can rest from your labors, for your deeds will follow you. But how old was Abraham when he had the promised child, Isaac? 100 years old. I'm not saying that you're going to have any children at that age, but how about Methuselah? 969 years old and still serving the Lord till the year before the flood, when he died just before that great catastrophe. You're never too old to serve God and have new horizons with him. Remember Ronald Reagan? Oldest president. Of course, I know you're 98% Republicans in here. Remember that debate he was having with Mondale, and a news commentator said, "Have you considered, President, that you're now the oldest U.S. president already, and you're running for another term? Will that not hinder your presidency?" And Reagan's answered, "Well," he said, "I will not make age an issue in this campaign. I will not for one moment, for political purposes, exploit my opponent's youth and inexperience." Right? You've got years and experience and wisdom, and God calls you to new horizons of service today. You're not too old to begin a new horizon. God certainly shows us that in the scripture by the greats that are there. But there's others in our congregation might say, "I'm too young. I'm too young to serve God. I'm just a youth. I'm a little child. Who am I to serve God and do great things?" Ever heard of Jeremiah? What do we read in Jeremiah in the Bible? He was young when God called him. "The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." Has God appointed you guys to great things? What is his excuse? "Then I said, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of them. For behold," and the Lord touched my mouth, and he said, "Behold, I've put my words into your mouth. And I've set you this day over nations and kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant." Isn't that a great word for you young out there today? You're no different from the rest of us. God calls you to great things, and you can do them even now. Remember the story of that young boy that the truck was stuck under the bridge, as the saying goes? And they called all the great engineers down, and they tried to figure out how to get this truck out from under the bridge. It was stuck, jammed, wedged into the underpass. And the engineers thought, well, we could try to lift the bridge. No, we could try to destroy the truck. We could dig out the pavement. Told a little boy standing there with his mother in hand, little four-year-old or something, said, "Mommy, why don't they just let the tires out of the air? Air out of the tires." And that's what they did. And so the little boy in his youth confounded the wisdom of the aged. And so God loves to do things like that. So don't think I'm only a youth. God puts his words into you and will do great things through you if you but yield to him. Mary was just, 15 or 17 or somewhere around there as a virgin, bore the Savior of the world when she was called. David was but a youth when he slew Goliath. But another excuse, "I'm too small. I'm just insignificant. I'm just one person in a big world, Pastor. I'm a nobody." Well, you ever heard of Gideon? In fact, we just read about him a few minutes ago. Gideon was beating out the wheat in the wine press, to hide it from the Midianites, who had come in such great numbers, their army was like in the hundred, maybe over 100,000. The angel of the Lord said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" But Gideon said, once again, the excuse, "Pray, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest of the clans, and I'm the smallest and least in my family." The Lord said, "But I will be with you." You notice a pattern developing here? "And you shall smite the Midianites as one man." So there came to Gideon 32,000 men of Israel to fight against the whatever, maybe 100,000 of the Midianites. What did God say? Was this good enough? No, Judges 7, "The people with you are too many, Gideon, for me to deliver the Midianites into your hand, lest when you win, you'll think you yourselves did it. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of my people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home." So he lost 22,000 people. His army is down to 10,000. God says, no, still too many. Let's cut it down again. And he had another test at the waters, and he got rid of most of the rest. He had only had 300 left. And God said to him in verse 7, "With the 300 men, I'll deliver you and give the Midianites into your hand." You see what God loves to do? He likes to downsize you into to the point of breaking and showing you are frail and nothing. And now I will come and do great things so that you may know it is me, it is I in you that's doing the great works. And Midian went out with 300 people and chased the 100,000 until they ran away home. They went running that same night. Every one of the greats in the Bible has always answered God, no, I can't. I'm not qualified. I'm not competent. I'm not able to do this thing. But every time God answers the same way, but I will be with you. Could he not say that same thing to you right today? No, this pastor's message is not for me. No, he's speaking to somebody else. You must have the wrong man or wrong woman. But I will be with you, God says to you right now. But I will be with you. I'll be with you. I will do it. I'll deliver you. I'll deliver them into your hand. But I'm too uneducated. I'm too untrained. I haven't gone to seminary. I'm a blue-collar type. God, a blue-collar type pastor. Well, you ever heard of the disciples? We just read about them a few minutes ago. Jesus saw two boats by the lakeside, the fishermen, blue-collar workers, had gone out of them, were mending their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, put out a little from the land, sat down and taught the people. And he says, let's catch some fish. Shows them a miracle. The nets were breaking. The boats were sinking. And then he says to the blue-collar workers, he says, don't be afraid. Henceforth, you'll be catching men. I'll make you fishers of men. Isn't that great? Who's he call? Blue-collar workers. You know what? Going to seminary, sometimes education can ruin a man. So many people go into seminaries, the liberal ones these days, they go in as sheep and come out as a pack of wolves. Well, God calls, did he not call a blue-collar worker for Jesus' own earthly father, Joseph, who was but a carpenter, a humble man working with wood with his own hands? God chooses ordinary people, real life people, to do extraordinary things through them because of himself with you. Could he not choose you this very day and be speaking to you in this sermon? I call you to go and do great things for me. If you'll but let me do these things in you and through you, and let me lead you, I'll lead you into things I prepared for you to walk in, which will make your eyes to wonder. Here's the best excuse of all. But I'm a sinner, God. I have a sinful past like you've never seen. Oh, my goodness. How could God use me? Well, you ever hear of Rahab in the Bible? She was a prostitute, a harlot, a whore in the city of Jericho. She helped to bring down the whole city of Jericho by giving friendly welcome to Joshua's spies. And she was reckoned righteous by faith. How'd you like that to be your name forever in the Bible recorded for all people of the world to know? Ah, yes, you know, the harlot, the prostitute, the whore. That's your name, Rahab the prostitute. And yet she was exalted to the hall of fame of the greats of the Bible simply because God does great things through ordinary people who believe in him. And she yielded herself to his service. She was even in the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself and of David. Isaiah, was he a greater man than you? He saw the Lord in a vision and he said, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But God didn't throw him out. He sent one of the seraphim having a burning coal, took something, a coal from the altar, touched his mouth. He says, behold, this has touched your lips. The guilt is taken away, your sin forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am. Send me. You have a sinful past? You know, when God touches you in the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, here I am. Send me is the spirit inside you. Paul said, you've heard of my former life in Judaism. I persecuted the church of God. I tried to destroy it. But he who had set me apart before I was born called me through his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So I want to ask you right now, yourself personally, what are your sins? What is your past like? Oh, if I could look and see everyone's past here, how you would scatter like sheep before a wolf. If you were to look into my sins of my past, how you would run from this building. But God says, all these I'm going to cover and forgive, and I'm going to call each and every one of you to go out and do great things. Friends, in every case, God calls ordinary people in the Bible. Peter, James, John, David, Elijah, they're all just like you and me. They're no different. They're not better than you. They're just chosen, and God chooses you. Consider your call, says Paul. Not many of you were wise, according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of you were from noble families. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what's low and despised in the world, even things that are not. Nobody's. To bring to nothing things that are the somebody's, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Yes, you are just a breakable straw, friends, but when God comes inside of you, but I will be with you, he makes you a bar of iron and does great things. God's great pleasure is to take people who are nothing and to do great things through them so that all glory and all credit goes to God for his wonders that he performs. So here's a list for you. Noah was drunk. Abraham was old. Jacob a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab, a whore. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced multiple times. Zacchaeus was too short. Paul was too religious. Timothy had like an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. If you think you're unqualified today, dead is about as unqualified as you get. And God called them and did great things. For this truth, may it ring in your ears. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Are you weak today? Then this is good. His power be great in you. And God shows us this most especially in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was the one perfect man of the world, the one bar of iron. But he came in what way? As ordinary and lowly. Born in Bethlehem, a little dirt water town, the smallest, basically in Israel, born near the lowest place of dirt on planet Earth, the Dead Sea. One day a teacher said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Foxes have holes, said Jesus. The birds of the air have nests. I don't even have anywhere to lay my head. Our Savior was homeless. The Lord has given me, though, the tongue of those who are taught. He didn't have any education. But the Lord taught him how to sustain with a word him that is weary. Was he handsome and dashing? Was he our Brad Pitt type of guy? He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. No beauty that we should desire him. Ordinary man was he. But he was despised, rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. On the cross he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. With his stripes we're healed. For all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord laid upon him the sin of us all, says the scriptures. Jesus came as an ordinary, lowly man, died the lowliest, smallest, most despicable death that man could conceive. But by this lowness, he came to bring low that which was high, to destroy the kingdom of the devil, to rescue you and give you life, salvation, forgiveness. And now he calls you, saying, you didn't choose me. Don't get yourselves wrong. But I chose you. And I choose you this day to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So is it not the meek who shall inherit the earth? God chooses and uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Will he not use little insignificant you or our little congregation? Yes, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? But God said to him, and he says to us, but I will be with you. And I will give you the victory, even always, to the close of the age. In Jesus' name, amen.